Good morning, Terra Nova Church. I'm Matthew Miller. I'm the pastor of Community Extension here at Terra Nova. And we are going to take today, we're going to give Ed a break from preaching in John, and we're going to focus on missional life here at Terra Nova Church. When we talk about missional, what we mean is that God built Terra Nova to be a church that's immersed in culture, a church that connects gospel and culture. And you, as people who come to Terra Nova Church, we want to inspire you and equip you to go and reflect Christ outside of Terra Nova Church in our time and our place with our people, the people that you work with, the people that you love, your family, people we don't even know. We set aside this time to keep the missional ideal in front of you. So today we're going to take a fresh look at missional biblically. We have a film about Terra Nova people serving outside of Terra Nova Church in the community and some of the people that we serve. We're going to roll out our 2009 community extension projects, the stuff that we do together, gather together. And we have a new environmental stewardship initiative called the Eden Project, and Paul Gordon is going to roll that out for us. Most of what we're going to talk about today is directed at Christians, those of you who call Terra Nova Church home. If you are visiting, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're still trying to figure that out, we are glad that you're here. My prayer for you is that you will catch a glimpse of the heart of Jesus through what we're doing. Please pray with me. Jesus, you came for our salvation, and you send us to reflect you. Inspire us to go. Give us the discernment to be equal measures of both your truth and your grace. I pray that our individual expressions of love and service are pleasing to you, a sweet aroma. Strengthen us to do your work. Help us to be agents of your profound love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible and want one, you can raise your hand. Someone will bring one to you. If you don't own a Bible, you can keep this one. We believe it is a beautiful book, and it's all true. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, after 1 Corinthians, the author is Paul. The book is his second letter to the church at Corinth. Paul writes about 20 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. He's writing about unity. He's writing about his own dependence on Christ. He's writing about being a minister of the gospel and of holy living. He's encouraging stewardship. He's asking the church at Corinth to support the struggling church in Jerusalem. And in chapter 2, verse 14, he breaks into praise, as he often does in his writing, and he writes this: "But thanks be to God, who in Christ leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance of death to death; to the other, a fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in sight of God, we speak in Christ." Terra Nova, Paul's message to the church at Corinth and to us is that we are to be the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere, to be a sweet aroma of Christ to God. Despite the fact that we're insufficient, we have been commissioned by God to speak in Christ, and we're doing it in his sight. He's watching. I hope you find this incredibly humbling. I hope it challenges you. As I read this, I think the piece that drew me to it was the piece about fragrance. Fragrance is intimate. When I hold my wife and I draw in my breath, there is this mix of soap and shampoo and our house and Frida all together, and it smells like comfort to me. It smells like home. As a kid, my dad always smelled like the mix of clean starch cotton and Royal Spice aftershave. And for me, there is strength and security in that. To a child, that is what a hero smelled like. Terra Nova smells like old wood, iron, and stale beer and incense. And I love it. It smells like church, and it smells like worship and community. St. Augustine prayed this. He wrote this amazing prayer to God. He wrote it in his book, The Confessions. He wrote, "Thou didst breathe thy fragrance upon me, and I drew in my breath and I smelled thee, and now I hunger and I thirst for thee. This is incredibly intimate language. It's even, in this case, sensual. Aromas are sensory reminders, good or bad. Familiar places, familiar smells remind us of familiar places, familiar people, familiar times. Paul is writing that we are to be an intimate reminder of Christ wherever we go. And the question to us is, how do we do that? And that's a big topic, but I have three things I want to share with you. First, we go. Chapter 2, verse 17, we are commissioned by God. Chapter 5, verse 18, God reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Chapter 5, verse 19, he entrusts us with the ministry of reconciliation. And in case we didn't get it the first two times, he says in verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So we go. We go filled with God's grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 14, we're going to go back to John, where we've been for the last month or so, or since fall. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. We are to be like Jesus, people filled with grace and truth, people willing to love and serve other people, but people also who need to be willing to speak boldly about Jesus. I think we should do it in that order. I come from a church, a lot of you come from a more mainline background that might have been about love and grace with not a lot of truth. Some of you come from evangelical backgrounds, maybe more charismatic backgrounds, where it was more about truth than love and service. We want to be sure we want to be about both, and we want to do it in that order. Terra Nova Church, let's love and serve people until such time as we have earned the credibility to speak truth. And let's be sure that we are people willing to speak truth boldly. We go uniquely equipped to reach people God is calling us to. God made each one of us a unique creation. Scripture says he delights and takes joy in us. He delights in our individuality. He's using our individuality to reach the people that he loves. This is why we don't have missional classes at Terra Nova Church. We don't teach methodology for sharing Christ. Matt Chandler, who's the pastor of the Village Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, he says that if you program or professionalize evangelism, you rob it of its power. Missional power comes from individual expressions of our faith. This is the beauty of the missional church. We asked a Terra Nova filmmaker named David Schwanker to make a film that would give a sense of all the individual expressions of our faith here at Terra Nova Church. Let me just say that if the community extension pastor comes to you and says, are you doing anything for the next 2 weeks? The wrong answer is, my schedule is pretty clear, pretty open. We actually, in 2 weeks, asked David to interview 20 people, people who serve from Terra and people that we serve in the community, and then compress that into a 15-minute film that would kind of capture that. And that's a big job, and we're very grateful that he did it. We made this film not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God and to inspire you to go as people commissioned by God, filled with his grace and truth, not programmed gospel automatons, but unique creations expressing devotion to your King. What we really wanted to do with the film was give you a sense of Terra Nova Church gathered and Terra Nova Church scattered. We wanted to feature some people who are serving on their own, people where God laid something on their heart and they just went. Diane Marcel at the Alight Care Center, Tom Corey, serving pastors in the Ukraine, are examples of that. We also wanted to show you what we're doing Terra Nova Church gathered, initiatives that the church has taken on its own. We want to, as you leave today, there's going to be some sign-up sheets out in the lobby. You can come alongside of some of the work that we're doing in our community and beyond. For one of the first things we did when we were trying to evaluate some of the needs of this community, we talked to a number of different agencies, and Joseph's House and Shelter was one that really just spoke to us. We're looking for help. We're looking for support. And right now, our probably single biggest initiative in the city of Troy is done through Joseph's House. We have some gathered programs, but we also have done stuff like get coats. We've got 200 coats. People from Terra Nova Church, pastors from Terra Nova Church have advocated for Joseph's House in front of the city government. Not long ago, I got a call from Paul Delio at Joseph's House saying that they were short on tampons. And you can imagine this puts me in a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. That's not an announcement that I actually want to have to make. Through Joseph's House, you can help to provide emergency shelter for people in crisis. You can serve weekend meals on a team with other people, or you can serve individually working on the In From the Cold project, partnered with other local churches to provide overflow shelter during the coldest months of the year. We're serving at the Lansing Inn extension of Joseph's House. The Lansing Inn provides transitional housing for people who are working their way out of homelessness and provides permanent housing for people who, for any number of reasons, are not going to be able to maintain their own home. We offer art classes, arts and crafts classes designed to enhance community and encourage creativity there. And you can come alongside of that. You can sign up for that in the lobby today. I want to introduce you to, many of you know her, but I want to introduce you guys to Jerry Sherry. I'm going to have you just do your wave thing, Jerry Sherry. Jerry Sherry is an incredible servant. She gets Terra Nova. She comes here on Sunday. She serves in the monastery. She serves outside in the community. She's in a new tribe. We've asked Jerry Sherry, as our initiatives with Joseph's House have grown, we need help, and Jerry Sherry is going to give us some help doing the administration and the logistics for all of our Terra Nova initiatives. We want you to know who she is so that she'll be a familiar face for you going forward. Rounding out what we're trying to make as a holistic approach, a multifaceted approach to the issue of housing, and new for 2009, we're going to be working with Habitat for Humanity. We're partnering with the Rensselaer County Habitat for Humanity to build a house and make it easy for a local family to own their own home. This is brand new. It's just in the formation stages. If you want to be a part of it, if you're interested, it's going to take a little while for it to develop, but you can sign up for that in the lobby today as well. As a church, we're working globally on the issue of human trafficking. We view trafficking, just like housing, as an issue of both justice and compassion. We partner with an agency called Love 146, and they work specifically to end child sex trafficking through prevention and aftercare. In April, I'm going to travel to Southeast Asia with Love 146 and witness their work and see if I can explore some ways that we can do a better job of coming alongside them. You can be involved, too. We're launching a task force here at Terra Nova. A task force will work to find local solutions to a global problem. Terra Nova has an art gallery. When we learned that there was an active and vibrant art community in Troy, we decided to start an art gallery. We use our space at 409 River Street as a multi-use space. We created a gallery space there. Every month on the last Friday, artists show their work to 150 to 200 people on Troy Night Out. It's a gathering place for people who love art and want to talk about it. It's a great way to serve the art community. You can serve on our gallery team if you want to do that, helping out at those events. Last, I'm going to ask Paul Gordon to come up. Paul is an elder in process at Terra Nova. He works closely with Phil Taylor and is leading the church to make best use of our resources, the resources that God has blessed us with. He's my friend. He's been in my new tribe for a couple of years. In that tribe, we started talking about this joint initiative on stewardship and community extension called the Eden Project. We had some help from Frida, my wife, Nicole, Paul's wife, and Matt and Jessamyn Schwartz, all of whom have been in our new tribe, and we're going to roll out the first pieces of that today.
Good morning. My name is Paul Gordon, as Matthew said, and if the 12 o'clock is pretty fortunate, in the 10 o'clock service this morning, Matthew decided to do a little dance up here, so you guys are saved Matthew dancing on stage, which is a good thing. Stewardship. Matthew has said, I'm an elder in process here at Terra Nova. And the elder process is a unique process here at Terra Nova. They ask you to present a vision and something that you're passionate about within the church. And for me, that's stewardship. So I'm going to take a few minutes today. We're going to cover a couple things. I want to just talk about what stewardship is and how I see it. And I also want to say how that relates to Community Extension Sunday, specifically with what we're rolling out with what we're calling the Eden Project. So stewardship, I'll start with. And I'll start with what it's not. It's not money, and it's not the church's unique way of a capital campaign. We're not trying to reach into your pockets with the term stewardship. Phil and I had the privilege of going to Dallas this week with Phil for an executive pastor conference, which was really informative. I got to see a lot of Phil and how he works and what he does, and we had the opportunity to share Terra Nova, share our story, hear what other churches are doing. Little sidebar, don't get in the car with Phil Taylor. It's really scary. So on some level, I'm really fortunate to be standing here with you today. I was going to keep track of all the violations, and then I just lost track pretty much. But anyway, we had the chance at this conference to go over a lot of things, and one of the things that we kept hearing was, don't use the word stewardship in church. Don't use the word stewardship in church, which was, for me, I was kind of baffled. And what they were saying is the word has gotten so closely tied with money that people just tune you out when you say stewardship. But when I think of stewardship biblically, and I think of stewardship and the themes across the Bible, it's rich and it has deep meaning. And that's the meaning that I'm passionate about. There's a couple key fundamental pieces of stewardship that I see. One is we view everything as God's. It's ultimately sourced from God, and it'll ultimately return to God. Everything, both physical and spiritual resources, is covered in that umbrella. And stewardship isn't defined by the resource that's being managed. Stewardship is more closely defined with the relationship between the steward and God, and how that relationship is, the character of the steward. That to me says more about biblical stewardship than money or the asset that's being managed. The other piece is stewardship really is defined as how effective and efficient we are at utilizing all those resources that God's provided to live missionally. And that's the first connection that you see between a missional Sunday, Community Extension Sunday, and stewardship, is how effective and how efficient are we as a church and individually with the gifts that God has given us in proclaiming his gospel. That carries a lot of themes in Scripture. That could be how effective are we at using our creative nature when we're worshiping? How effective are we at leveraging the power of the Holy Spirit that God has gifted to us? That could be a number of things in Scripture, but today we're going to be focusing on the gift of creation, the physical resource that God has gifted to us. So if you still have your Bibles, open them up to Genesis. This is the Eden Project, so we're going to go right back to Genesis, all the way to the left-hand side of the Bible. And we're going to go right to chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 26. Verse 26 starts the sixth day of creation, so you're 5 days in. At this point, land, sea, stars, moon, all of that's been created. And we're on to the creation of man on the sixth day. So let's pick up in verse 26 of chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every plant, every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. When we were brainstorming Eden Project ideas that Matthew referred to, one of the things we kept coming back to is what's our basis? What are we seeking to do with what we're calling the Eden Project? I want to pull out three things from this short passage. And the first one is the overall concept that creation, this world, is a gift that was given by God. And I think that's pretty clear in the passage as you read through it, that this is all a gift given by God. He created the earth, he created mankind, and then commissioned mankind to be the steward of that for him. In verse 26, he uses the word dominion. And when he calls on mankind to have dominion over the created order of the world. And in verse 28, he says, "Subdue it, fill it." And again, he says, and he uses the word dominion. Quite frankly, and they don't sound very friendly, and they don't sound very green, or in today's lexicon of going green, you don't hear people saying, "Well, we want to have dominion over our creation." No, it sounds much more friendly than that. But I think a key component here is that this commission was given to pre-fallen man. And so really the goal of the Eden Project, on a very fundamental basis, is trying to reclaim what that commission actually means and how we should hear that with a nature that isn't fallen, a nature that doesn't seek lust, it doesn't seek greed, it doesn't seek power and gluttony and just consuming. That's the fundamental basis of the Eden Project. What does it mean when God commissioned man to have dominion and to subdue his creation? Again, I think I'll start with what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we're going to take creation and put it on a pedestal as something to be worshipped. We're not going there. We're not going to be tree huggers. We're not going to be dirt worshippers. We're not going to everybody wear wool so we can support the No Sheep Left Behind Act. That's not where we're going. But we are seeking to try to reclaim what it is God commissioned us to do, and that's the goal that we're seeking after. To be quite honest with you, I think the church as a whole is behind the eight ball in this topic. And so we're launching two initiatives today under the umbrella of the Eden Project. Neither one is that drastic or that revolutionary of a thought. The first one's a recycling program. Still, the city of Troy does not have commercial recycling. They don't pick up recycling. So for the last 3 years that Terra Nova's been here in Troy, we've been throwing away everything from paper. Anything that can be recycled, we've been throwing away, which it just doesn't seem, recycling is not that hard of a thing. So what we did is we bought two recyclable bins that are going to be down at 409 during the week for general office use. On Sundays, they're going to be brought here and put in the lobby so that the guide pages and any other paper that you guys might have can just go in the recyclable bin. We're going to recycle that. And any other bottles or glass or plastic, anything that you guys have with your beverages, that can go in there as well. They're out there today. They don't have, the stickers haven't all got here yet. We haven't got them all. So the paper has a label on it. The other one doesn't. It's not a garbage can. And again, you guys are all familiar with recycling. So we don't need to go through the ins and outs of that. But what we are asking is that we need help on the level of taking the recycling from here and taking it to a transfer station, because the city of Troy doesn't come pick it up. So what we're looking for, and there's a sign-up sheet for this in the lobby, if you're interested and you're able, we're asking people who can come to Terra Nova. We're going to have a team of people that can come to Terra Nova on a weekly basis to pick up the recyclable stuff, take it to a transfer station. We're not looking for you to come on a weekly basis. We're hoping to get enough people on a team so that you have to do this once a month, maybe once every other month, something along that line. The second initiative we're rolling out is a ride-sharing program. And this was first kind of hinted at when we did the directory in December. We asked a bunch of you on that directory form if you'd be interested in ride-sharing to Terra Nova to check a box. We got a great response to that. We had 40 households saying, yeah, if there was a ride-sharing program in place, we would be interested in doing it. So we put all that information together. We broke it up into kind of regions where you guys come from. You guys come from a lot of different places around the capital region, Saratoga, Clifton Park, Del Mar, and East Greenbush, all over the place. So we kind of broke it up in big regions, assigned a ride-sharing captain to those regions, and asked the captains if they'd be willing to send an email in the middle of the week to the people in their region saying, essentially, if you can carpool this weekend, please reply yes. And then it's going to be the responsibility of that regional coordinator just to either coordinate or a common place to meet and everybody ride together, or actually linking people up to pick each other up. At this time, the band can come back up. We're not asking, we understand that a lot of you serve here at Terra Nova in a lot of ways, and we're really grateful for that service. So we understand that a lot of you can't ride share on a weekly basis. That's not what the program is for. The program is just to be on a list of people from your area that have the ability to when you can. So all you have to do is reply to that email, yes or no, on a weekly basis. You haven't got a ride share on a weekly basis. And I'll leave you with the thought that I think you've heard a lot today. I think you've heard a lot of different initiatives that are here at Terra Nova, from Matthew and from myself. And I think the connection, again, is how well are we as individuals and corporately at stewarding the resources we have to be missional in our lifestyle, which is a very important way that we do life here at Terra Nova. And so I would just commission you to weigh that, consider that. There's going to be plenty of sign-up sheets in the lobby for what you think you can get plugged into, and we would welcome that. Thank you.
We're going to sing a song and then go into our communion time. We're not going to go into our communion time immediately. But we're going to sing a song in response to what we've heard. The song will be new for you, but it comes from a scripture that I think a lot of us know from Micah 6:8, which says, He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that we would do justly, that we would love mercy, that we'd walk humbly with our God, which is exactly what Matt and Paul and all these people on the screen have been talking about. So we're going to sing that a little bit, and as soon as you pick up, join right in with us.
Communion in just a couple of minutes, but I just want to say a couple things. In watching all that happens, it's beyond any sense of control by me or anyone at the church, and that's wonderful. You guys smell like initiative and creativity, and you smell like Jesus. Stings the nostrils in a good way. I love that you guys are doing these things, and as a pastor, it's just beautiful to see you guys going beyond what could be imagined or done. I want to thank Matthew and Paul for what they're sharing, especially the way they've challenged me. There was a point before Christ where I was a little bit eco-crunchy and just tossed that aside. And to see the way that these guys renew that calling as something you do out of love for the Father is something I think we can all learn from, and I'm personally grateful on that level. In Genesis, they said two things, right? Take care of the earth and love your husband and wife and have babies. Tara's doing really good on number two. So we just got to make sure we're doing just as well on number one. There was a revolutionary leader who once said, don't wait for orders, listen for gunfire and ride towards it. The orders have already been given. Jesus said in John 20:21, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, present and full of truth and full of justice, even so I am sending you to be present and full of grace and full of mercy, all those things. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. It's not a matter of if we should do something. It's a matter of what we should be doing and what we can do. I'm going to encourage all you guys to take some time this week and just to be asking God, not should I do something, we already know that, but saying, God, what should I be doing? What would you have me be going out to do to be able to be sent like Christ was sent? When he was sent, he came with such a great compassion upon the people that he saw, that he provided for them not just bread, but his very life. He met out such justice that the wrath of God, which was upon all of us, he took fully upon himself on the cross, giving ultimate truth and ultimate grace and an expression of love that would be unending as he would rise and defeat death and sin and entitle all of us to sonship and daughtership under the Father, and have the chance, powered by the Spirit, to live representing the life of Christ as the body of Christ. as we come up for communion, I'm going to invite anyone who can come knowing that the love and justice that Christ brought on the cross is theirs, that he's drawn them back to sonship and daughtership because of that sacrifice, to come up. But then you'll make a U-turn, and when you head back out, the challenge is just as much that you accept that you're a person being commissioned and sent out to go just as the Father sent the Son, so the Son sends his body indwelt by the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful. We are a people who moved from a garden of perfection and a world of beauty, tempted away from loving one another and stewarding over this great place, to abusing one another and often ignoring the call to care for this. We are so grateful, Lord, that you came to restore, that it was in a garden that you prayed for the strength to follow through on what the Father had asked you to do. Lord, you've restored many here, and we're grateful, but you want so many more. You want them to see. You want them to know. You want them to smell the aroma of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be men and women, sons and daughters, who walk as present among people. Help us, God, to represent truth and grace together. We come to you, Lord, with our eyes fixed upon you. We see you speaking. We come to you with our eyes fixed on you. We see you giving. We come to you, our eyes fixed on you, and we see outstretched arms pierced. We come to you, and we see you as the risen one. Lord, we come to you now to celebrate what you've done for us and to be sent back out to do for others. Please bless us to be like you more greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.